Picture this. It's a typical Thursday morning, let's say today, actually, July 30, 2026.
Right.
You sit down with your coffee, you flip open your laptop, and you log into your company's work portal. You click on a really critical application, maybe, your main production database or the HR platform, and boom,
Yeah, you're just in.
you're instantly in. There's no friction, no loading screen. It just kind of works. But then on the flip side, think about a time you click that exact same app, got a hard access denied, and found yourself staring down this like 3-day wait for an IT support ticket to clear just so you could do your job.
Oh man, we have all felt that pain. I mean, it is the defining bottleneck of modern corporate engineering. And it
Seriously.
honestly is the difference between a company that moves fast and one that is slowly, suffocating itself in operational drag.
And today we are going completely under the hood to look at the invisible architecture that actually makes those moments happen. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are not doing some basic spec sheet comparison today.
No, definitely not.
We are decoding the high stakes, heavily guarded world of IAM and IGA enterprise architecture. We're looking directly at how platforms like Okta and SailPoint are actually engineering identity in 2026.
Because getting identity architecture wrong, it isn't just an IT headache anymore.
Right.
The data shows that if you misconfigure this layer, you end up with massive compliance gaps, severe vulnerabilities, and frankly, a miserable developer experience.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Exactly. But when you architect it correctly, you satisfy the strictest auditors on earth, you lock out sophisticated threat actors, and you allow the business to scale without adding like infinite layers of middle management approval.
Okay, let's unpack this because the core question every single enterprise faces at a structural level is incredibly simple. Who gets access to what, and how do you mathematically prove it?
That is the big question.
And to answer that, you have to split the identity problem right down the middle into two very distinct engineering disciplines, right?
Exactly. You've got the IAM side and the IGA side.
Yeah.
And for anyone designing these networks, they might sit under the same general security umbrella, but they're solving two fundamentally different architectural problems.
Right. So IAM is answering the fast real-time question, like, can this user authenticate and initiate a session right now?
Yes, exactly.
It's all about the mechanics of connecting a verified user to a resource with zero latency.
Spot on.
Whereas IGA answers a much slower, more forensic question, something like, should this user hold these entitlements in the first place? And can we legally prove to an auditor that the decision to grant them was mathematically sound?
That is the exact dividing line. I mean, IAM is the execution of access, and IGA is the governance of access.
Looking at the data on how enterprises actually deploy these, the mental model that keeps coming up for me is a high-end nightclub.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, so IAM is the bouncer at the front door. You walk up, they scan your ID, maybe they run a quick biometric check or look for a cryptographic token, and they say, yep, you're authentic, go on in.
Right, it's optimized for throughput.
Exactly. It prevents a bottleneck out on the sidewalk. But IGA is the club's forensic accountant sitting way in the back office. They aren't looking at the door at all. They are auditing the books.
Yeah, making sure the people sitting in the VIP room actually paid for a table.
Exactly. Making sure no one snuck in through the kitchen and that the bouncer's algorithms haven't somehow been compromised.
I really like that analogy because it highlights the functional difference, but it also highlights the temporal difference, you
Yeah.
know?
How so?
While the bouncer cares about milliseconds, getting people in fast. The accountant, though, cares about a multi-year historical paper trail.
That makes sense. But I have to push back on this structural divide just a little bit. Why on earth are these still two separate domains?
Wow.
Like, if I am a CIO, I want a monolith. Why am I buying Okta for the front door and SailPoint for the back office? Why hasn't one platform just natively eaten the other?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is really all about the evolutionary DNA of these platforms. They were engineered from entirely different starting points,
Yeah.
to solve opposite extremes of the identity spectrum.
Okay, opposite extremes.
Yeah, Okta was built from the ground up as a cloud-native IAM engine. Their entire foundational architecture is optimized for authentication, single sign-on, and extreme speed. They essentially built the ultimate bouncer.
Right.
SailPoint, conversely, was built as an IGA engine. So their DNA is in complex relational databases, deep role modeling, and cross-platform auditability. They built the ultimate forensic accountant
Ah, I see.
to build a system that can handle millions of millisecond authentications while simultaneously running heavy, multi-year relational queries across legacy databases, Those are just competing architectural demands.
That makes a lot of sense. You can't optimize a database for lightning-fast reads and incredibly heavy, complex relational writes without making a compromise somewhere.
Exactly, you'd break the system.
So let's look at the reads first. Let's look at the bouncer. When we talk about Okta dominating that workforce identity cloud space, their bread and butter really is that frictionless experience.
Right, the idea of logging in once in the morning and instantly holding active session tokens for like 100 different size applications.
Which is wild when you think about it.
It is, and Okta achieves that through this massive integration network. We're talking over 7,000 pre-built connectors.
Wow, 7,000.
Yeah, so if you deploy a new tool in your tech stack, Okta already has the API hooks to provision it instantly.
But I want to dig into the actual mechanism of that real-time authentication because it isn't just a static password check anymore. The modern standard is adaptive risk-based authentication.
Yes. And this is where the engineering gets really impressive.
Sure.
Okta isn't just validating a credential. It is constantly computing a dynamic risk score for the entire session.
But wait, you're telling me Okta is evaluating device posture, checking for impossible travel velocities, like, I don't know, logging in from New York and then London 10 minutes later, analyzing network reputation and checking behavioral biometrics, all in the time it takes my thumb to leave the enter key?
Yep, pretty much.
That sounds like a latency nightmare. How does it not take 10 seconds to authenticate?
Well, because it is entirely asynchronous and highly distributed, Okta isn't running some massive central monolithic query for every single login. They are utilizing edge computing and pre-computed risk profiles.
Okay, so it's happening closer to the user.
Exactly. When you attempt to authenticate, the local client or edge node is already holding a cache of your typical behavioral telemetry. It is evaluating your device's cryptographic certificate instantly.
Oh, I see.
The only time it introduces friction-like prompting for a multi-factor authentication challenge is when the delta between your current telemetry and your pre-computed baseline exceeds a specific mathematical threshold.
So it is effectively frictionless by default and only applies friction when the contextual math just doesn't add up.
Exactly. And from a deployment side, because it's cloud-only, the time to value is incredibly fast.
Right.
You trigger an event in the HR system, say a new hire is marked as active, and Okta's API fires instantly, generating the necessary session tokens so that employee can start working on minute one.
Okay, so if Okta is that fast, if it computes risk asynchronously without latency, and if it instantly provisions access across 7,000 apps, why do I even need SailPoint?
Well,
Because Okta has its own governance module now, right? Okta Identity Governance, or OIG. Why isn't that enough?
OIG is fantastic for cloud-first mid-market companies. It handles standard certification campaigns perfectly well. But you really have to look at the enterprise reality here.
The big guys.
Right. When you are a highly regulated global bank or a massive healthcare provider running a mix of cutting-edge cloud infrastructure and 30-year-old on-prem mainframes, the federal auditors don't just want to know how someone logged in.
Right. The bouncer can't answer the auditor's deep forensic questions.
Precisely. The auditor's going to point to a highly sensitive air-gapped financial database and say, "Show me the mathematical proof of exactly why this specific engineer has access to this data."
Oof.
They want to know who approved it 3 years ago, what their exact role definition was at the time, and prove that there are no toxic combinations of access.
What's a toxic combination?
Like someone having both code commit and production deploy rights. You don't want the person writing the code to be the sole person approving it to go live.
Oh, yeah, that makes total sense.
Okta's lightweight governance just isn't built to run those kinds of heavy cross-platform relational audits on legacy systems. For that, you really need the heavyweight architecture of SailPoint.
Which brings us to the IGA side of the equation. So SailPoint's entire model is built around enforcing least privilege over time.
Yeah.
They operate Identity IQ for those incredibly complex, custom-coded hybrid environments, and then Identity Security Cloud for teams wanting a SaaS deployment. But their fundamental goal is stopping access accumulation, right?
Right. Access accumulation is the silent killer of enterprise security.
How so?
Well, imagine an engineer moves from the back-end team to the front-end team. They are granted all the front-end access, but nobody remembers to revoke the back-end access.
Oh, I've seen that happen.
Right. 5 years and three promotions later, this one engineer holds the cryptographic keys to half the company's infrastructure. SailPoint prevents that through continuous deep-level certification campaigns.
I see the logic, but I have to play devil's advocate on the implementation here.
Go for it.
The data shows these SailPoint deployments are massive undertakings. We are talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, easily 12 to 18 months to reach full maturity. Doesn't maintaining this massive continuous compliance database inherently slow down network performance?
It's a fair question.
And honestly, don't those certification campaigns just turn into managers getting alert fatigue and blindly clicking approve all on a dashboard?
That is the classic pitfall of legacy governance, for sure, the bureaucratic nightmare. But modern IGA actually operates differently.
Okay.
To your first point, it doesn't slow down network performance because IGA operates out of band.
Yeah.
It isn't sitting in line during the authentication flow like Okta is.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's running asynchronously in the background, analyzing the entitlement structures, not the live network traffic.
Ah, so it is mapping the territory, not policing the live traffic.
Exactly. And regarding alert fatigue, this is where SailPoint engineering really shines. They don't just dump 1,000 entitlements on a manager's desk. They utilize unsupervised machine learning to perform role mining.
Okay, explain how that actually works in practice, because role mining kind of sounds like a buzzword.
Yeah.
How does an algorithm figure out what a senior financial analyst should actually have access to across a messy, decades-old Active Directory?
It works exactly like genomic clustering. The machine learning model ingests millions of existing entitlement data points across the organization. It looks for statistical clusters.
Okay.
It might find that, say, 98% of people with the title senior financial analyst hold a specific set of 40 entitlements. The algorithm mathematically defines that cluster as the normal baseline role.
Oh, that's smart.
So during a certification campaign, it doesn't ask the manager to review the 40 baseline entitlements. It automatically verifies them based on the policy. It only flags the anomalies, the 2% of access rights that fall outside the statistical norm.
That is brilliant. It completely strips out the noise. And that policy-driven automation, the RBAC, is what actually speeds the business up.
Yeah.
Because if a user's genetic makeup, their role, matches the biological policy, they just get the access. They don't have to submit an IT ticket and wait 3 days for manual approval.
Exactly. It operates like an immune system.
Yeah.
When a white blood cell needs to deploy, it doesn't ask the brain for permission. It matches the biological policy and acts immediately.
Wow.
When governance is done right, it replaces manual bureaucracy with instantaneous secure automation.
So it is incredibly clear that in 2026, this is not a zero-sum game between these platforms. You absolutely need Okta at the edge, acting as the dynamic, frictionless bouncer, and you need SailPoint in the core, acting as the intelligent immune system.
Precisely.
And when you look at how these systems interact, it forms the actual bedrock of a modern zero-trust architecture.
Yes, because zero trust demands that identity is a continuous signal. In legacy networks, if you made it past the firewall, you were trusted indefinitely.
Right.
Under zero trust, you are never inherently trusted. Your context is constantly reevaluated. If your risk score changes mid-session, Okta detects the anomaly at the edge, triggers a challenge, and instantly informs the SailPoint governance engine to evaluate if your underlying entitlements need to be temporarily suspended.
Here's where it gets really interesting. We've talked about how Okta is using AI for millisecond risk scoring and how SailPoint is using AI for deep genomic role mining. But the landscape they are governing is fundamentally changing.
It really is.
We are no longer just governing human employees. The data on machine identities is absolutely staggering.
It is the defining architectural crisis of 2026, honestly.
In a typical enterprise environment right now, machine identities outnumber human users roughly 50-1.
Yeah.
50-1. And in heavily cloud-native architectures, it is significantly higher. If I have a company of 10,000 human employees, you are telling me I have over 500,000 non-human entities interacting with my systems, APIs, microservices, cloud functions. How do you govern a non-human? It doesn't have a manager to approve its access.
And this is where the irony of the last decade of security really hits home.
Yeah.
We spent billions of dollars building these incredibly sophisticated Okta and SailPoint architectures to lock down human error. And in the process of automating everything, we handed the keys to 500,000 autonomous microservices.
We solved the human identity problem by creating an infinitely more complex machine identity problem.
Precisely. And it is being accelerated by the rise of agentic AI.
Right. AI that actually has the agency to execute tasks. Not an LLM that just answers questions, but an autonomous agent that can log into a Salesforce database, query a customer record, execute a data transformation, and commit code to a repository.
And if an AI agent is executing tasks, it requires an identity.
Yeah.
It requires an active session token. It requires entitlements. Giving a permanent, always-on administrative login to an autonomous AI agent is a mathematical nightmare for a security engineer.
So how are the platforms handling it? You can't run a quarterly certification campaign on an AI script that spins up and dies in 3 seconds.
You handle it through ephemeral architecture. Organizations are enforcing strict just-in-time, or JIT, access.
Okay, how does that work?
When the agentic AI needs to perform a task, it dynamically requests access. The governance engine evaluates the request against the policy, and instead of granting a permanent credential, it issues an ephemeral token.
A token that is mathematically designed to degrade or self-destruct after a specific time limit.
Exactly. It might grant the AI agent access to the database for exactly 5 seconds. Once the task executes, the cryptographic token expires, and the permission simply ceases to exist.
Wow.
The attack surface shrinks to near zero because the entitlements are only alive for the milliseconds they're genuinely needed.
That is wild, and it totally reframes what IAM and IGA actually mean today. It isn't just about resetting John and accounting's password.
Not at all.
It is about dynamically mapping, securing, and expiring millions of overlapping access requests across humans, microservices, and AI agents, all in real time.
Without dropping a single packet of data.
So to bring this all together, the invisible architecture you interact with every day relies on both sides of this equation. Okta provides the speed, the edge computing, and the frictionless authentication that keeps the business moving without latency.
And SailPoint provides the deep relational governance, the machine learning role mining, and the mathematical proof that keeps the enterprise compliant and secure from toxic access accumulation.
Together, they engineer the zero trust reality we all work within.
This raises an important question, though. We just outlined a reality where Okta is using AI models to score login risk, SailPoint is using AI models to cluster and recommend governance approvals, and the entities actually requesting the access are increasingly agentic AI.
Oh, wow. I see where you're going with this.
We are rapidly approaching an architectural endpoint where an autonomous AI requests an ephemeral token to access a database. An AI risk engine evaluates the contextual telemetry of that request, and an AI governance model verifies the entitlement policy.
That's crazy.
We have AI negotiating security clearances with other AI in milliseconds, completely bypassing human comprehension. The systems are becoming so fast and so complex. Will human oversight ultimately become the fundamental bottleneck in our own cybersecurity infrastructure?
That is an incredibly heavy and frankly inevitable realization to end on. The architecture is evolving past our ability to manually govern it, something to seriously mull over the next time you sit down, open your laptop, and magically get access to your workflow in the blink of an eye. There is an entire invisible war of algorithms happening behind your screen just to let you read your email. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.